0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we start the shift from domestic football to the international break. Antonio Colak says Rangers are determined to come back stronger when the league resumes. Celtic's internationals head off on the back of a first league defeat in a year. And Steve Clark says Scotland need a much better performance than the one they put in against Ukraine in June. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, different feel to the start of the week with international duty coming round and work for Steve Clark's team to do. But I'm guessing there still will be some lingering thoughts about the results at the weekend. We left here on Saturday with Rangers just scraping past Dundee United, thinking it may still be a bit much for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. But what a difference 24 hours make when Celtic slip to a defeat. Celtic slipped their defeat against St Mirren. So things can change quickly in this game. I think some people still have an opinion on that Celtic performance on Sunday.
Yeah, a very interesting weekend. Obviously we got a lot of calls criticising the Rangers' performance. I think that was on the back of the fact that, you know, you're looking at Celtic going to Paisley. Great result for St Mirren, and you've got to congratulate them. Motherwell, unfortunately, thought played all right, Gordon. Hearts coming away with the 3 points, 3-0. But all eyes will be in the next three games, important games for the international team.
Yeah, I'm on 0141 951 1025. We were only on for 1 hour last night. There was a change to our scheduled programming. So with that in mind, maybe we've got a bit of a lag. Maybe we're still picking up some of the talking points from the weekend. Loads of you wouldn't have got through, didn't get time to get through. So pick up the phone and let us know what you thought of the weekend's results, performances, talking points. 0141 951 1025. Please do get your thoughts in. And of course, we are moving towards international football. It is tomorrow night, Scotland against Ukraine. Steve Clark's been speaking today. We'll hear from him. Scotland fans, this is the chance really to get your thoughts in. You know, who should play, who shouldn't play? There's no Andy Robertson. Does Greg Taylor go in there? Does Aaron Hickey play there? Who's leading the line? Billy Gilmore's not playing a lot of football. Does he feature? All the usual questions. Get your answers in, please. 0141 951 1025. You can of course tweet at Clyde SSB. And this is a bit of a different Tuesday. I mentioned it before, but we were only on for 1 hour last night. A change to the schedule programming. So let's pick up the pieces. Let's finish off from the weekend's talking points, and then we'll move on to the Scotland-Ukraine stuff and whatever else is out there on your mind as well. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now, please. Always feel like, Mark, that first international break, although you've only played seven games, it's like, you know, it's like it's obviously it's the first sort of pause for breath.
Yeah.
Where you can maybe take a bit of stock, assess your start to the season. Like, yes, it's early. The league table's maybe not quite taking shape, but it's certainly getting there. If you look right now, Celtic, Rangers, Hearts. Mm-hmm. That's last year's top three in that order. So I know it's only seven games, but it already has a, you know, sometimes can have a little bit of a feel about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. It will be the top three come the end of the season. But I think you've played enough football to have a good look at everybody, to see who the danger men are in each team's makeup. You know enough about your squad, I feel, at this time to know who your strongest 11 is. Ange Postecoglou will certainly reflect on that, and he'll definitely know now who his strongest 11 is. And it is a welcome break for some. I mean, if you're Liam Fox and Dundee United, it's probably a good time just to sit back and take stock and try and reconfigure things. Even Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, I say, is the 2-1 victory might not have been enough for him, but I suppose it gives him time to sit down and actually rethink things and think, well, things aren't as bad as it actually looked this time last week with Celtic dropping points. So this international break for me when I was a player was always a good time, because I was never picked. It was my first holiday of the year. I was always straight away.
That's what
selfish.
It's all about. Yep.
Yeah.
Selfish. But it was no, never no ambition. He wondered how he ended up at breaking his career. No ambition whatsoever. But I think it's a very important week for the international side. Domestically, I think the Mark's right. I think that if you're down near the bottom, results haven't been going well for you gives you that little bit of time to go and work in different things. Yeah, you may lose one or two players to the international teams, but you'll, you know, if you're Dundee United, you'll have a fair whack of your squad there. You know, Motherwell can work in different things, get people's fitness, injuries that need a little bit more time. So for some in the domestic football, it's a welcome break. For others, like say St Mirren, they'd be desperate for the next game. Momentum.
What about the top two? Good time for them both? Bad time for them both? What, one of each?
I mean,
Celtic would have been desperate to get back out and fix that 100%. On Sunday night if they could have. So yeah. In that regard, is it a bad time?
Yeah, and
for Celtic or?
Yeah, I think so. I think that you're right, Gordon. I think that knowing Postecoglou, that defeat would have hurt. It'd have hurt his players as well. But all credit to St Mirren, let's say that first and foremost. But he would have been desperate to get back out and get them back on that pitch playing. You look at Rangers, Rangers would be the same. They're okay. The fans were phoning in their droves about the level of performance, but they still got a result. They're sitting 2 points behind. I think they would be looking to get back on the grass as well as quickly as possible.
Or does it not give Rangers more time to get Ben Davies more, you know, fitter? Well, is Morelos fitter?
Well, to me, get fit, it's
game time.
Yeah. And proper game. Yeah, you can play closed door games. We understand that. You get the facilities, you've got the squad there to do that. But I just think that game time, getting out there and playing competitive football, I think these teams, but if you look right down the bottom, Dundee United, Liam Fox, they'll be glad to have this break.
Celtic and Rangers, Mark, the break come at a good time, bad time?
You know what? I don't think it's a bad thing for both of them. I think the schedule's been that hectic for them, especially stepping up to the Champions League, the top table. Those games take their toll on you, and they've had a couple of difficult outings, and Celtic obviously going away to Poland to play Shakhtar, Rangers, a couple of difficult games there. Just gives time to reassess. Rangers in particular, I think the players that they've got missing from the team, it just gives them that wee bit extra time. I think they will arrange closed door games, there's no doubt about that. Get Ben Davies 90 minutes. You can maybe even squeeze two games in there. A fitness, match fitness, I agree with Daz. There's nothing competes with playing, you know, in a full stadium, full competitive match. But the closest thing is playing a 90 minutes at a good level. Get a good level opposition to come somewhere, and you get minutes under his belt, and he might be ready to go back.
Come on then, 01419511025. It is only Tuesday night, and generally you still get some lingering thoughts from the weekend, but we've got time to make up for. We were only on for 1 hour last night, so perhaps we can look back a little bit. And then of course we've got Scotland-Ukraine tomorrow coming up fast round the corner. Let's start with Brian, who's a Rangers fan in Coatbridge. What's your point tonight, Brian?
Hi there, guys. Good evening. Hope you're all well.
Thank you very much.
So it's basically, I was listening last night, and I'm just a wee bit bemused, deluded. I don't know if a word to choose, really. There's quite a few, but in relation to the pessimism about Rangers tonight, by some fans, and from what I'm hearing last night, and probably tonight as well, to be fair, you think we were 12 points behind opposed to two. I think Roger alluded to last night as well, saying that if we win after the winter break, we go top, which might be momentarily, but again, the result in Paisley shows you never know, that could be longer term. And I think as well, looking forward, the fact that we haven't hit top form yet and to be only 2 points behind, having played in Europe since early August, weekend, midweek, etc., and qualified for the Champions League against this league, and Celtic are supposedly flying, I'd expect with all the pessimism flying about to be further than 2 points behind, but the reality is we're not, just to see what the panel thought about that.
Yeah, it was interesting. I think the problem just now with Rangers is you look at Saturday, okay, they win the game. Čolak scores two goals. Comes in for criticism on this phone-in from Rangers supporters. So it's not us that's saying it, Gordon. It's the Rangers supporters going along there.
Well, I think Brian acknowledges that,
yeah,
to be fair.
And I think what's sort of given them a little bit lift, and it is true, because Celtic were 5 points going to Paisley. Everybody was expecting Celtic to win that game, let's be honest, apart from everyone connected with St Mirren. They were hoping for a good day, and they certainly got that and certainly deserved it. I think it's the way Rangers have been playing. Everything's getting highlighted, the summer signings, the guys that have been brought into the team to make a big difference, sitting on the bench. For instance, Mark mentioned getting minutes into Ben Davies. Now, if that's the case, there was great opportunities over the last couple of games to get him on the pitch. Morelos comes back on Wednesday night. Saturday, there's no sign of him whatsoever. I can understand he didn't start because he's been out for such a length of time, but surely at Ibrox, to keep that fitness going up again, you get him back on the pitch. Now, this is Rangers fans that are saying this, so it's him. It's a little bit disappointed with one or two things. The manager's come in for a bit of criticism, but I think what Brian's saying is right. If you look at the league table, they're only 2 points behind. But my concern for Rangers is if they keep going and churning out performances like they're doing, I don't think they'll kick on. They need something to get that spark again for me.
Yeah, is that perhaps where those fans are coming from, Brian? I'm trying to sort of remember the things that have been said, but you put that positive spin on it, which is understandable, saying we've not hit top form yet and we're only 2 points behind. The fans who don't feel as positive of you as you, the message they seem to be putting across is they don't feel like top form's happening anytime soon. They don't see it coming. They don't think top form is round the corner. Would you understand that?
I do understand it, but I'd also throw that back and say, well, did anybody think the result in Paisley was coming? And I think Andy Halliday alluded to last night as well that football can change in a week. So you might not be in top form on a Saturday. You could be in top form the following Sunday. It changes so quickly. And I think the point Gordon made there as well about Colak, I get Morelos has done a great job for Rangers and his discipline's been a problem. But looking in the bigger picture, Colak's hit the ground running. And we need to remember that we've brought in a guy who's scoring goals straight away. Again, he came in for criticism early on. But the bigger picture is that Colak's doing the job and Morelos is there if needed. But again, it's maybe a bit of time for him to work on his fitness over the international break as well. And the fact that we have been playing Champions League qualifying, if you like, from early season. Celtic's first taste of it was, 10 days ago now before the funeral for Her Majesty and then the break, and then their first time back after it, they've tasted defeat. So I think I'd be looking at the positives rather than the negatives, which is only 2 points at the minute.
The only thing I would say, Brian, just quickly there, you're talking about Colak, and I agree, because I couldn't believe that he get criticised. People were saying his link-up play, he didn't do anything. He was a Rangers centre-forward, and Saturday at home he scored 2 goals. First and foremost, that's their job. But you talk about, he's not done anything wrong. The biggest game the season come along in the Champions League against Napoli at home, and he threw in Morelos, who was not 100% fit. He had hardly played any game time. Colak had had 2 games without scoring. So it tells me that Morelos is certainly still the number one striker at Rangers.
What do you think, Mark? Brian's talking about this difference in mood where Rangers fans seem very pessimistic, Celtic fans seem very optimistic, and there's only 2 points there. So how is the gulf in the mood so great? I think ultimately is what Brian's trying to ask.
Well, previous results, of course. I know it's only 2 points, but, you know, football, Brian's right, football can change quickly in a week. Well, 24 hours. When we left this show on Saturday, did we have a positive Rangers fan on after the game? I don't think we did.
Now,
we
had far to be, from it.
If we but had to be
Brian's,
on,
that's what Brian's against, though. He's calling for more of that.
If
more,
we had to be on Sunday after the game, then you would have heard a different voice. I guess it's just what went on before that run of games, and particularly the Celtic game. It sticks in the minds of Rangers fans until something comes along and rubs it out of their memory. Now, 2-1 home victory against Dundee United, that was, look, routine a bit, but unconvincing at times, is not going to eradicate that from their memory. They need a top performance. So this, maybe this break, I says it could have came at a good time for them for the injuries. Maybe it didn't. Maybe they needed to get back out there again and really put in a convincing performance that then makes Rangers fans more optimistic.
Is that fair, Brian? Maybe a proper top draw performance, would that shift things?
Yeah, I think so, and that might come at Tynecastle, but I think there was a point made last night as well, and again, it's going back to this European sector again, where I think Celtic did play longer-term Europe. Fair enough, the results never went for them last season, but with the greatest respect, it was a lower level of European football, whereas now, they're both competing on the same level, the same stage, the highest level, and I think it might tell more on a Saturday, Sunday. What do you think about that?
Well, who knows? Time will tell.
You've been there, though. You know, you've done that midweek. Is it different? I mean, Brian's right, because Champions League is tougher. But is it noticeably different? Because you're still doing the travelling. It's still the potential for squad rotation.
To be fair, I didn't find it much different from playing the Europa League and then playing a Sunday. If anything, I prefer Champions League and a Tuesday, Wednesday, and then playing a Saturday. Same travelling, so I don't think it's that much a difference. When you go into Europe, the levels are that high that you know, it takes a bit at you, but like, it's a fair competition, it's a fair comparison between both sides this season so far, so I don't think they'll be worried about that. I do think this break though just gives them a wee bit of time to rethink how they've went about those first few Champions League games and how they've went about these first seven games in the league, and they'll come out better for that on the other side, both of them.
If you're Giovanni Van Bronckhorst though, are you thanking Mark O'Hara and Stephen Robinson and co? Does that make you go into the break just feeling a whole lot better than you might have done?
Of course it does. It closes that gap. You know, I think everybody involved with Rangers would have been St Mirren supporters on Sunday. Vice versa when it comes to Rangers playing important games as well. You're talking about the Champions League, the Thursday-Wednesday thing. The only thing I would say would be, for me, the advantage is if one of the teams were playing Saturday, I think it's good to play on the Saturday and get the 3 points on board and then say, right, over to you on the Sunday. Yes, you can hark back to, well, look what happened this weekend. Rangers 1-2-1, got their 3 points, and all of a sudden Celtic go to Paisley, and that gap from 5-2, and Rangers feel good about themselves again, as Brian has come on tonight and said. There's a lot of positives, but it'll be interesting to see in the coming weeks how that develops.
Yeah, let's hear a bit from Antonio Colak. He was getting stick on this show on Saturday despite scoring two goals from some callers, multiple callers, which was much to your confusion in the studio. He says Rangers are determined to come back stronger after the break.
Yeah, I mean, if you lose three games in a row, it doesn't matter on which level, that can affect you. And we are all humans, and this is normal because we want to win every game, and we try to reach that level always. And I mean, sometimes if one situation, second situation doesn't go how you want to, then maybe you try to play maybe more safe or something like that. But we try to run and run again and to create the chances. Of course, it can happen that sometimes it's not that successful, like my first goal. And yeah, we had some other situations also, but the most important thing is that we try and try and try. Of course, you can make mistakes, but we won. This was the most important thing, and this is what we wanted. But of course, now after this break, we want to work on the details. We want to be more effective with the chances we get, and to then maybe score more goals.
Okay, thank you to Brian, 01419511025. He thinks there's too much negativity among you Rangers fans, thinks you need to be more positive. It's only 2 points. What do you think? Do you agree or disagree with that sentiment? Why not pick up that phone and let us know? 01419511025. And Celtic fans, I keep repeating it because it's worth pointing out, we didn't get the full inquest into the game yesterday. We were only on for an hour. So what do you think about Sunday? How disappointing was it? How much do you blame the changes? Was it just a blip, a bad day and you move on? Or something more underlying, you decide. 0141 951 1025. And this is the perfect time to call. If you pick up the phone now during the travel, we'll try and get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. It's 01419511025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. Back to your normal 2 hour format tonight. We only had 1 hour on Monday with Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday, so still a bit to get through, I think, from the weekend. And then of course, you Scotland fans, I know you're out there. What are you thinking about tomorrow? The last visit of Ukraine was not ideal, shall we say. Well beaten on the night. How much of an improvement is needed, and what team should play? Because there are a few issues that Stevie Clark's going to have to iron out. So 0141 951 1025. We're going to reflect on events in Paisley very soon. Let's speak to Joe, who's a Rangers fan in Cambuslang first. Hi Joe.
Hi, how you doing guys?
How are you? You alright?
Yeah, alright. I'm just sitting outside Ibrox going to see Rangers women tonight playing Benfica, so nice change.
Absolutely.
Hopefully the women put in a better performance on Saturday than the men did.
They still won, of course. Your previous, your fellow Rangers fan who was on a minute ago was calling for more positivity. Are you not in the mood?
No, I think, I mean, I'm a regular caller, guys, and I go to all the games. I think, I mean, Kolač, the criticism with Kolač, I think, as I've heard Gordon saying several times, he's done his job, he's scored two goals. I mean, what more can the guy do? But I just think there's something more going on at Ibrox. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't have any insider info or anything like that, but I just think there's more going on at Ibrox. I mean, the signings, I still don't understand why we bought Ben Davies when the plan obviously was to integrate Leon King, which, don't get me wrong, I think it's a great idea. We should be integrating guys for the youth team, but if that's the case, then why spend $4.5 million on Davies? We could also have kept Katic, because we already own Katic, so we could have kept Katic, and that was money saved there. The thing with McGregor as well, I mean, McGregor obviously signed a new deal in the summer. For me, thinking he's going to come in and still be playing regular in the first team, which he's more than capable of doing, he drops McGregor, plays McLaughlin. McLaughlin got off to a shaky start. He is a good keeper, but he's no Alan McGregor. And I just think there's something more going on. I mean, Matondo as well at the weekend, not even in the squad, supposedly maybe for disciplinary issues that I heard. I mean, I just wonder what's going on. I think we've wasted a bit of money in the summer. And as all Rangers fans know, for the last 10, 12 years, we've not only been fans, but we've also been accountants because of what's been going on at Ibrox. We're not in a position to spend $4.5 million on someone to sit on the bench. Same with Yilmaz, supposedly $6 million. The guy doesn't get a look in. I mean, he doesn't even get 5 or 10 minutes run at the end of the game. Okay, Barisic has done well, but I mean, were they expecting Barisic to go? I mean, I don't know.
Right, Joe, the last caller said you're only 2 points behind and things should be a bit more positive. You are not having any of that, are you?
I'm positive because, I mean, if you think of the journey we've been on, I mean, me and my two sons used to come to Ibrox season ticket holders and watch us playing Berwick Rangers for a season. I mean, if you think about where we've came from, we got 55, we got to a European final last season. At this point, I am positive. I'm trying to be glass half full, but I just think there's something going on. I don't know. I mean, we're driving over to the games, and to me, in my mind, you should be able to pick 6 or 7 players that you know are going to start, maybe 3 or 4 that you're going to know. Now, he's maybe going to swap out, but you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know what Van Bronckhorst is doing. I mean, I just find it baffling what he's doing. I mean, again, I go back to the Ben Davies thing, supposedly $4.5 million for a guy to sit on the bench. He said no run out at all. I mean, again, he's another one. Doesn't he get 10, 15 minutes at the end of a game? If we were always going to integrate Leon King, which, again, I'm all for, why did we spend money on Davies and why did we not just keep Big Katic?
I think what I'm noticing here is we always bang on about it being a results-driven business. You know, results are the most important thing. Rangers won at the weekend, Celtic didn't. It's only 2 points. But fans care more than that. They want to look deeper. And to Joe and to others, performances matter and personnel matters and recruitment matters, and they're going to keep digging that bit deeper, and that's where the negativity is coming from that the previous caller didn't understand.
I think especially at the big clubs, performances do matter because fans pay to be entertained. They don't pay to go and watch their team, you know, win 1-0 boring every week. And then you get a lot of signings coming in for X amount of pounds, like Joe's saying. Fans get excited about signings like that. They want to see a team refresh. They don't pay to go year on year to see the same bunch of players turn out time and time again. So I can totally understand the Rangers fans' frustrations. You've got £4 million or whatever it was paid, centre half on the bench. You want to see him. You want to see him perform. Same if you've got a winger worth £3 million, Matondo. You want to see him in the squad. You know, you want to see him come on, make a difference. You want to see that the investment that your club has put out is the right investment. And, you know, Joe's right. Van Bronckhorst has got a habit of changing his side around. It is unpredictable at times. I said on Saturday, when you've got young kids coming into the team, I think every fan likes to see that. They like to see their own players blooded in. But when it's not absolute superstar that this kid's been up and coming for years and you're excited to see him, or you've not got a list of injuries the length of your arm, then I think fans are right to think, well, why is he skipped ahead X, Y, and Z to get in the team? You know, where is Kamara? Was he injured? Where is Davies? How far is he away? Where is Matondo? It brings up more questions than answers.
I mean, Gordon, look, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was asked about Ben Davies and why he put Leon King on first, and he said, you know, he sort of brushed it off and said, because, you know, he's just coming back from injury, no fuss as far as Giovanni Van Bronckhorst concerned. Now, I'm about to really get ahead of ourselves, but surely we get a proper answer on the 1st of October when Hearts play Rangers, because by that time, that will be 4 weeks since Ben Davies was on the bench against Ajax. He was on the bench against Ajax, he was on the bench against Napoli, and again against Dundee United at the weekend. So it's not like he's just back on the bench for a week. By the time the Hearts game comes round, 4 weeks will have passed. So this notion of he's just back from injury, that won't be there anymore, presumably.
Yeah, what I can't understand, I can totally take that on board, that you nurse someone through an injury, you don't want to rush him, an important player. But what is the point of putting him on the bench in those games? And there's opportunities there. The Napoli game had gone. There was opportunities to say, right, okay, we'll get 15, 20, 25 minutes into his legs. We'll get him, you know, his recovery going here. You're not asking a lot. The game had gone anyway. It wasn't going to change. He brings on Young King. Following week, you're looking at, following game, you're looking at Dundee United. You're thinking, right, playing the bottom of the table, we're going to have most of the ball here, especially at the back. I think there was an opportunity to get some game time in him as well. That's the one I can't understand. Now, the other ones I can, because I know that Yilmaz, for instance, left back, he's not had a lot of game time, but what I've seen of him, I still think Barisic is the best number three in that berth. I just look at the Rangers signings. Now, I totally agree with Joe. I think if you're a Rangers fan, you bring in these players, you've spent a lot of money. They're no right to get in the first team, you know, demand a spot, but you've got to see them in action. See if the Rangers were playing their everybody fit. I think the only one just now that guarantee a game is Lawrence. Right?
I think Joe's fed up, he's gone. I was going to bring him back in and ask about the break and tell him to enjoy his night at the game.
Sitting the kickoff, he's approaching, is that the way he's to get in there?
He's like, A3, you're doing my nut, and I'm off.
Made his point, didn't he? Just hung up.
He's just turned his engine off, he's still sitting them off.
Did you hear the parking sensor going crazy? I was just worried. I was worried he was getting a bit close. Who else is it going to be?
Oh no, I didn't hear him, I'm sorry. I was too.
Get a big set of headphones on there to help you with that stuff. You should have been able to hear it. Drown Joel's voice out.
He crashed.
Well, anyway, 01419511025. Of course, the situation did change because Celtic lost in Paisley. It's 2 points. What about John, who's a Celtic fan on the line? How do you feel about that, John?
Well, as I say, the forward line's got to have a wee bit of responsibility as well. See, last Wednesday night against that team that played in the European Cup, with 8 chances and we scored 1 goal. 8 clear-cut chances. That team had 1 chance and they ran away with a pound scored. They'll move on to the game on Sunday. St. Martin had 2 chances, scored with a 2 of them. Big Jack and Maggots missed a pinch, but it was 5 minutes to go. Could have bust in the net, ready to keep it with a header. Now, well, watching the game on Sunday, that team put me back at the Lennon team against Livingston at Livingston, when Dykes ran amok, bullied the defence. That's the way it was. When I was watching that team, I was watching corner kicks and hang me with hands over my eyes. Now, as I say, Welsh isn't the answer, neither is Alshon. As I say, we're only 2 points ahead of Rangers. Last week, Rangers was in a crisis. They beat Hearts next Saturday before they play Celtic. The Celtic play Motherwell. They go top of the league. That shouldn't have happened.
What do you think of that, Mark? Did Ayunga and Main give Welsh and Jens the Julian and Lyndon Dykes treatment?
Did a wee bit. They were certainly more physical, and it was a tough afternoon for the centre half pairing. Just goes to show you the value of Carter Vickers. I've not seen many people doing that when he's on the side, but it did look like something St Mirren had worked on and it was effective. John's got a point in the respect about the front line in the Champions League, you know, missing chances. It's quite often the defence at Celtic that gets lambasted for underperforming. Mm-hmm. Front line always gets away with it because the 9-0 and that, but at the top level. But on Sunday, there wasn't many opportunities that fell their way. It was just a poor performance, I think. Poor team performance.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gordon, imagine a couple of weeks ago you would suggest that Celtic would create better clear-cut chances against Real Madrid than they did against St Mirren. And I wonder if that is the case. Look, John does, to be fair to him, give an example. He says there was a header from Giakoumakis. Fine. But Real Madrid, Shakhtar, there were numerous clear chances. It didn't feel like Celtic had that many. If Giakoumakis has won, fine. But it didn't feel like they passed up too many chances at the weekend. It seemed like was creating them not more of an issue.
Yeah, I thought their all-round game was very poor, Gordon, and I put that down to, and sometimes we don't do enough, give credit to the opposition. I thought St Mirren were excellent tactically, worked on it. I think they did target guys like Welsh and Ralston down that side. But even their big players, for me, never stepped up to the mark. he had Richie's on that bench. He brought players on to try and change a game. That didn't happen either. I just thought that on the day, and teams have it, because we've all praised Celtic and the way they've went about their business. Their league campaign has been incredible. Performances, scoring goals. Even after the Champions League defeat to Real Madrid, come in for a lot of praise, style of football, rightly so. But I think basically on Sunday, they turned up at Paisley and St Mirren just had one of those days. And as I say, I think all credit goes to St Mirren.
I mean, John, do you blame the changes? Because a lot of people are, but then at the same time, it's what, 3 weeks ago, everyone's waxing lyrical because Celtic made changes at Ross County and it didn't stop them, and it just shows that they can do that without impacting the team. That was the narrative then, and fast forward a couple of weeks, people are blaming changes for the defeat. How do you feel?
Well, I think there was too many changes. Even the midfield, there was three midfielders on Sunday. But I always remember saying that Josh Steen said, you get 3 points for being the Rangers, you do every other team. What's the point of scudding Rangers, going 5 points in front of them, then we drop points at that park at Paisley? It's just not good. There were garbage on Sunday. Every one of them was garbage. Even the keeper. Keeper should get his horn at a goal. I thought the keeper was bad at the first goal.
Wow. You know what? A couple of days can make.
Puts a spotlight on how good the Brendan Rodgers invincible team was, because I think it was last month I said, was it you that was saying that Celtic would go?
No.
I'm absolutely delighted. I've been thinking about that all weekend.
Yes. Go
you
all
said Celtic and Rangers would
home.
Only beat each other. Oh, he's adding there.
At home, I said.
No,
that.
You didn't. You said they would only beat each other.
And we said that it's so difficult to do that. You need not only quality players, but you need a lot to go your way. And you can't have an off day. Celtic, as good as this team is, and I believe this team's better than the Brendan Rodgers era, I believe they play better football. They had an off day. And that's all you need, and you were punished. And look, the changes, people, I've read online, people, too many changes. Ange Postecoglou, you know, has to realise that he can't make that many changes. The guys you're bringing in are more than able to beat that St Mirren side.
Is it just about the disruption, though? Is it the number rather than the individual talent? Because obviously, Stephen Robinson, in a heartbeat, would take those players that got brought in. We know that. But is it something about the number? Doing it all at one time. Well, and how does it square with the Ross County thing, when everyone said that it showed how strong Celtic were? Are we taking that back now or what?
Well, when you've seen the team come out, right, when you've seen before the kickoff, you've seen Celtic's team and the changes, would you still went against your prediction? I certainly wouldn't. I thought there were more than enough talent there to win the game, and that's not being disrespectful to St Mirren. But you've got to earn the right to win a game. And I don't think Celtic earned that right. I thought St Mirren were at it from the first whistle. I think tactically they knew that they could get in about the defence, and they certainly played to that, and it worked brilliantly for them. Curtis Main, an experienced striker, knows what he's all about, went up there, ruffled a few feathers, and guys at the back couldn't. And I do agree with Mark, I don't think it would have happened if Carter Vickers was there, because he's that sort of player that relishes that challenge. But you look at even the substitutions coming on. Talented players, top players are coming on off the bench, left, right and centre. Still couldn't change a game. As I said, it was a bad day for Celtic, but I thought brilliant for St Mirren.
Thank you, John. 01419511025. Good time to call. Get in touch. You could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are in the building. It's 01419511025 on the phones. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Pozog, for instance, is on. Says, I think going to St Mirren was an anticlimax for the players after Rangers, Real and Shakhtar, but the players need to be up for every 90 minutes. So that's on Twitter as well as the phones. See, quite frankly, I'm sick of social media. I'm going to bin off social media. Did you notice that someone's hacked my Instagram? How bad's that?
I didn't notice that. Hacked him.
Hacked it.
That's when you know you're
all
famous.
All weekend, I've been getting messages from people I've not spoken to in years. And I thought, what's going on here? Some absolute weirdo.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else, sir.
I was tempted.
has
hacked my Instagram. And then there's a few embarrassing bits to this, because they somehow have got more followers than I've actually got. Right? So the hacked account. And you can't really tell. That's the beauty of it, right? It looks just pretty much, they've got all my pictures, all my information, the username, they've got like an extra underscore, so it just looks pretty much the same to the naked eye. And some weirdo spending their time.
My good lady said Gordon Duncan's added me, even though I'm his friend now. Oh, that's weird. She follows you back.
Sick of it, honestly.
Again, even though she follows you already. And then I said, that's got to be
whoever it is going around offering my friend cryptocurrency. I could not know less about that stuff if I tried.
How do you unhack?
I don't know. I think you're relying on your friends, your colleagues like you two, to go and report the page.
Oh, no. We're going to big this hacker up.
No, this is an absolute pain.
What happens if the hackers listen and goes after us now?
He'll not go after you. You're not big enough.
Hacker. I'm telling you, I'll get you. Find you.
He'd have some fun in your DMs, that's for sure.
And if you're going to put photos out, make sure they're good ones.
Honestly.
That is annoying. Have you got it sorted?
I've heard of the dark web before, but your DMs would be a different kettle of fish.
That's a shame.
I've not got it sorted. Even this afternoon, people are contacting me saying, is this you trying to get me involved in cryptocurrency? Of course it's not.
No. You know anything about crypto then? That's burst my bubble. I thought,
absolutely not.
I'm going to get some tips off you.
I like that.
What, you like hackers?
I'm the victim of crime here. I'm not detecting much sympathy from you two clowns.
I like when somebody else suffers.
Imagine the stress levels. You know what he's like? He'd be so stressed on Sunday.
I was wondering why you're sitting down there with your hair. Oh, no,
I,
no.
Just, I can imagine the rage constant coming out of you on Sunday. Who is this?
He'll find them. He'll track them. I'm telling you. I've never seen a detective like this guy.
Busy on Sunday, right? So I was doing various things all the while. The phone's just going cryptocurrency this, cryptocurrency that. And you're right. And I thought, right, maybe we've defeated him.
Yeah.
Because enough people, I thought, had reported the page. Today it's reared its ugly head again.
Are they back?
Oh, they're back.
Right, if you're listening, phone in just for a laugh.
Get
just
a grip,
so we
listening.
Can hear.
Please be you. Please be the person. I would love him to be sitting there now listening to us. How good would
that
be?
He's a listener.
Oh, I love
him. He must be a listener.
Yeah.
Why did he hack you?
I could be somebody in the dungeon basement.
That's even better.
Some straight up Dazza Street man, and he's.
See what he said about my team? I've just done
this. What a stress.
I've just nailed him.
I'll get all these pals into cryptocurrency. That'll teach him. That's the bit. I don't even get it. Where does it go from here? Do I want to know? No.
I don't know.
What are they stealing next?
Oh.
Anyway.
I hope they don't steal my identity. I'd be really concerned about that.
01419511025. Let's do it the safe, old fashioned way. Speak to producer Callum, speak to us, keep it polite. It's the only rule. James is a Celtic fan. How do you feel looking back on the weekend, James?
Good evening, guys. Evening, Mark.
Hello.
Evening, Gordon.
Right. Yeah.
I would say Sunday was one of the worst I've ever seen under Ange, and he's got to take a bit of responsibility. I have never seen a team play so many passes to the side, to the back, as what I watched on Sunday. Absolute mince. It's like they'd never met each other before. It's like when Ange first took over, it's like if they didn't know them. The players didn't know each other. But the St Mirren were excellent, deserved their 3 points, all praise to St Mirren. Their goalkeeper never had a save to make. When have you ever seen that? I just don't think. It's like if the players were drunk on the night before.
Steady, James.
Can we get back to talking about hackers? That's been labelled at me a few times.
Let's not
this
make,
guy's drunk.
Let's
on
not
the
make,
again.
Let's not. Hold on. Who's phoning? We've got Stephen Welsh's lawyer on the phone wanting to take issue. I'm sure they weren't. Like James is talking about, didn't look familiar and all that. Mark, what is that? Just the changes then?
It is unexplainable because of the form Celtic have been in since the start of the season. You know, we've seen some remarkable performances, individual, team, even when and getting beat against Real Madrid. The praise was up there. And Ange Postecoglou, his stock couldn't be any higher. Look, it quite often happens when you get, you know, you build up something so good, there is a bit of a fall. I think what the important thing is that people don't just, you know, go over the top with it. It was a dreadful performance. Celtic got exactly what they deserved at it. But I don't think it's anything to to shape their future going forward. I think they just regroup and they'll start back up again exactly where they were last week.
James, here's a question I've barely asked on this show because he hasn't required it. You blaming Ange Postecoglou? Has Ange Postecoglou got this wrong? We don't hear much criticism from him for him because he's got most things right, but you holding this against him, the changes?
Yeah, I would say so. Now, the guy has been fantastic for us, but you get praise when things go right, and you've got to take a bit of stick when it goes wrong. And I'll tell you how. At half time, he took off two players who weren't performing. He brought on Jota and Hatate. Then he brought on another two players who he dropped. So that tells me he's thinking, now, when the two players come on after half time, we were only a goal down. What happened to Milner at the Park scored a second? We never showed up at all. I've never seen a team play so badly. I've never seen Celtic play side to side and back to back. And there's one player, guys, I've been on before about him, is David Turnbull. I'm sorry, I've got to criticise him again. Doesn't show up in the Old Firm games, doesn't show up in Europe.
Scored in the last one, remember. You're not allowed to criticise products of the Motherwell Academy when me and Gordon are on.
Yeah.
Okay. And Gordon and Mark are saying he's a star in the future. He's a fallen star. That guy was so bad, I wouldn't let him play for us again. That's just my honest opinion, guys.
James also said he's never seen Celtic play so bad. He must have missed the Mark Wilson years.
Well, the one, especially the one at St Mirren, where well, under the Tony Mowbray. You must have been switched off that night. I just said 2 seconds ago, I think it's important not to go over the top with this kind of criticism one game.
He's playing again.
I think that's what you call going over the top. Like the changes that Postecoglou made, it's all right sitting there saying they were wrong at the time. I'm sure he would have thought of the Ross County game and thought, I've got players here that are chomping at the bit to get in every day in training, but my starting 11 are that good, I can't arrest them. This is a game I can trust them in. They underperformed. Even McGrath, even the regulars that were in the team underperformed.
Right, but with that, because I'm only joking. Obviously, we're here. James wants to make that point about whoever he wants. Of course, that's absolutely fine, Gordon. It's Moy and Turnbull brought into the midfield, which means Callum McGregor plays a slightly different role. So Mark says even Callum McGregor was off it, but is that as a result of those changes? I mean, Aaron Moy clearly switches off for the first goal.
Yeah.
And a lot of criticism about Celtic not playing at the same tempo. Does the midfield start that?
I think Aaron Moy is a different player. I think he's not the Hatates, O'Reillys, the McGregors when they're in full flow. He's more of he drops off, he slows the pace down a little bit. He's a lovely footballer. I still think he's trying to go up to speed, i.e. that's why he was thrown in Sunday to get some time. I think, James, everybody's got their opinion of players. I'm a Turnbull fan. I think he brings a lot to it. Was it his best game? No, it wasn't. Of course it wasn't. But Turnbull's been very good for Celtic in recent games as well. He's played a big, big part on their success. I think he's just a talented player. Look, you could go through that full team. You could go through even the substitutes that were brought on that didn't make the impact that Postecoglou looked for. I look at that Celtic team at the beginning, I think, if that Celtic team had to play St Mirren tomorrow night, they're well capable of, winning the game comfortably. They're that much talent. It didn't happen for them on the day. The changes didn't happen for them on the day. What happened was, like every other club that play teams like Celtic and Rangers, you need a bit of luck, you need to be right on it, you need everything to go your way. St Mirren tactically got everything right. It worked for them, brilliant for them, and I thought they deserved their victory. But you can't just brush everything now with Celtic and say, well, he picked the wrong team, too many changes. Nonsense. It's a squad. He's got a talented squad. They just didn't produce.
I don't know why they lost the game though. Was it not because of the too many changes?
I don't think so, no. I think with a squad and the talent that Celtic have got at their disposal, they can make the changes.
Would they have won if Jota had started and Carter Vickers had started and Hatate and O'Reilly had started?
Well, I don't know, because what you're saying is every time they start, they win every game. It's not going to be like that. Mm. They're going to be off days. Jota, come on. Didn't produce anything. So, as I say, I just think credit to St Mirren. It was their day.
Okay, thank you, James. Nice to speak to you. Hopefully we'll do it again soon. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Oh, what about this? Somebody's phoned in to tell us about hacking, but wants to say that they're not the hacker. That's something the hacker would say. That's exactly what a hacker would say.
Gam through.
Anyway, it's Beat the Pundit time. I think it's about a fortnight since we last had a listener winning on Beat the Pundit. I'll let you in on a secret. Tuesday night gives you a very good chance. So if you want to beat the pundit tonight, 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We've been looking back on the weekend's action because we were only on for an hour last night, so we had unfinished business. Of course, more of that to come if you so wish. And if you want to look at Scotland-Ukraine, we'd be delighted to have you, because Steve Clarke's got some big decisions to make. There's no Andy Robertson. Does Greg Taylor, informed Greg Taylor, take his place? Or is it Aaron Hickey? Or is it someone else? Grant Hanley, he's usually first choice. He's pulled out of the squad. What does the centre of that defence look like? In midfield, Billy Gilmore was the main man for so long, but he's now not playing a lot of football either. Does he play? Who leads the line? All the usual questions. And what are you expecting from Scotland-Ukraine tomorrow? 0141 951 1025. After this,
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit back for a brand new week, and hopefully we can get the listeners up and running for the first time in a while. Tam is in Blantyre. How's it going, Tam?
Nice, fine yourself.
Yeah, not bad. Have you ever played before?
No, I've applied before, first time on it.
Right, good, I'm looking forward to it. What would be better than a debut win against one of these two heads? It's Mark, tails, it's Gordon. And it's heads, it's Mark against Tam from Blantyre. You feeling alright? Nervous?
No.
You sure?
Tam sounds nervous though.
Tam
does sound a bit edgy.
I think Tam sounds alright.
I wonder if Tam's a hacker. You the hacker, Tam?
No.
Right.
Tam sounds more sophisticated than that. I mean, you might have taken your eye off the ball this weekend. You were away doing the kilt walk.
Was.
Yeah, congratulations.
Few days to
the
recover.
Full Saturday. Yeah, full Sunday
it.
Doing it. Well done to you.
Thanks.
How long is it?
7 mile.
How long is it?
I was 21.3 or something.
Sore feet.
Oh.
Now this won't mean much to you, right? Because you're
very sore feet.
21.4s.
You're of an older generation, right? So you. Yeah. This might not mean much to you, but to the kids out there, of which I'm desperately clinging on. He did 21 miles in a pair of Nike Air Force Ones. Right now, anyone who's got a pair of them, they're not for walking. They're not comfortable. That's just simply not what they're built for. Was there no? After
Michael Jordan played basketball. No, what are you talking about?
At 1 mile in, did you not start to think my feet are a wee bit sore?
Miles in, I thought these might have been a bad choice.
And
it turns out they were a bad choice because I've got huge blisters all over them. So for all you kids out there getting,
are they trainers? I take it.
Getting the money.
They're not built for comfort.
What about them?
Quite fashionable.
Sort of kind of clumpy sole, quite heavy.
Be fair, right? It was always going to be that way. It was a fashion parade. It was nothing.
Well, how many pictures did he take?
Unbelievable.
Of walk?
I was actually on my Instagram, thousands
of followers.
Did you feel like you were on the walk? Did you feel like you were in the walk with him?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's what I was wanting you guys to know.
And do you know what he done, right? And everybody will witness this that's ever looked at it. He finished it, and then he went 10 steps back towards the finishing line,
just
right?
So he could get the picture,
and said to, right, take a photo of me and walking in, and he's looking at his watch and all that, right?
Pathetic, wasn't it?
Yeah,
all for a good cause though. Yeah. Charity.
Yeah, and we all chipped in. I gave him a
you certainly
cone.
Did. You were very generous. Everyone in this room, very generous.
I sent him one of my
6 in the morning. I had to get the bus through there, right? So I'm on the old public bus through, and the phone goes, and it's him. Did you get my donation?
Hold on a minute. What was the distinction between public bus there?
In case anybody thought I was in a luxury
private
coach.
Public.
Thanks for clearing up that you're willing to sit with members of the public. How noble of you!
It was the only way through. If the trains were on, I would have got that. Anyway, he phoned. Did you get my donation? No. Go and have a look. I've left you some wise words.
What was it again?
Many start fast, but. Some nonsense.
Don't wear Nike Air Force Ones. And
then few finish strong. Many
rounded off way. I hope you get cramp.
Anyway, sorry, Tam. That was my long way of saying that he might be distracted. So I think you've got a chance tonight. You fancy it?
Aye, I do.
Good. Right, let's go. We'll put 30 seconds on Mark's clock. Just answer. No, we won't. We get rid of Mark first, don't we? I'm getting distracted here. Right, Tam, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know. It's that simple, okay?
Okay.
Let's go. Ramon Vega was on loan at Celtic from which English top flight club?
Watford.
Who currently wears the number 9 for Rangers?
Kovac.
Who's the only player sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
Scales.
Which Scottish top flight club has a mascot called the Steelman?
Motherwell.
How many separate spells did Willow Flood have at Dundee United?
2.
After Celtic and Rangers, which team most recently won the Scottish top flight?
Hearts.
Okay, let's bring back Mark. Can you hear us?
Yeah. Same, that seemed quick, yeah.
Fire
same
through. Set of questions, yeah. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying over there? I've got your mic off and I can hear you whittering away.
Easy, quite easy tonight.
Okay, I'll turn your mic back off. Right, see you later.
Time's wake up at 6.
Ready, Mark?
Okay.
Let's go. Ramon Vega was on loan at Celtic from which English top flight club?
Spurs.
Who currently wears the number 9 for Rangers?
Chowak.
Name the only player sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend.
Pass.
Which Scottish top flight club has a mascot called the Steelman?
Motherwell.
How many separate spells did Willow Flood have at Dundee United?
2.
After Celtic and Rangers, which team most recently won the Scottish top flight?
Aberdeen.
Which Rangers player was called up to the Scotland men's national team yesterday?
McCrory.
Okay.
What are you saying?
Tam, what's the verdict?
Oh, I think he's done me.
Oh, it's never a good place to be. Big blister foot.
I love when the caller says that.
That means you have beat him. Tam was.
Ramon Vega was on loan at Celtic from.
Brian, was it?
You're even worse. It was Spurs.
Yes.
Martin Wilson got it.
In your face, Daz.
Hold on though, right? Not that it makes much difference, but he did play for Watford. I thought it was a good effort from Tam. As far as wrong answers go, but he's still wrong.
Aye.
Sorry, Tam. I'm trying my best.
Was right is wrong. And Tam is wrong. What?
He wasn't in your time, was he?
What? The guy, is he not the head of some? He's a chief exec in that now. That tells you the level of ages.
You weren't a charity.
He's 51. You could have played for guys that are 51,
exactly.
Could you not?
If
they were at the end of their career and you were at the start.
Maybe.
Having said that's not his worst shout. Who was it at the weekend? And it was during an ad break or something. It didn't go on air. He asked you if you played with someone at Celtic, and it was so far off your era, I nearly fell off my stool. Was it Andy Walker?
It was Andy Walker. Andy was Walker. On the telly and said, do you play with him?
Mark's like the same age as me nearly.
No, the worst, I signed Andy as well.
You honestly don't, like, no idea how far apart him and Andy Walker are.
Well, there you go. He could have played by
right.
11 years old.
His name. You both knew that Cholak was number 9, yeah. So it was 2-1. Mm-hmm. Tam equalised because Liam Scales was sent off.
Scales,
can't believe it.
Equaliser.
I've done, Tam.
Now, either producer Callum, you've imparted wisdom on me that I didn't think was possible, or I'm going to be put out. Is it the Steelman or is it just Steelman? That's important.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, but they both got the gist of it. It's Motherwell.
Yeah.
So still level at this point.
Yeah. Good game.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure?
Yeah, 3-0.
Oh,
3-0. How many separate spells did Willow Flood have at Dundee United? It was 4.
Did he?
You both said 2. It was 4.
4.
Yeah. What part?
2 loans, 2 permanent.
What part of 4 are you not getting there?
The other two.
Was the last spell the one that he got sent off in the playoffs and then went right up and like pushed the camera out his
face?
Oh,
he's an angry man, Willow. He's furious.
How did that work? Because his name's Willow and your nickname's Willow.
Yeah, he didn't understand when he came with Celtic. That was.
So you would just hear like multiple shouts of Willow on the pitch.
Willow, yeah.
That's problematic, isn't it?
It was.
I've never heard of that before.
Two Willows?
No, two same nicknames.
No, that's his name.
That's his actual name.
That's his name as well.
All right, okay. Well, you know.
After Celtic and Rangers, which team most recently won the Scottish top flight? Tam went Hearts. Mark went Aberdeen.
Was it Aberdeen?
It's Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
Oh, no, he's won it right at the end, Tam.
Oh, yes, that last one.
He even had time to get McCrory. You're right, Robbie McCrory's been called up to the Scotland team. It's a 5 for Mark and a 3. Tam and Blantyre Hardlines, Tam.
Well done, Mark.
Thanks, Tam. It was a good effort from you.
Done, Tam. Gordon, I was wanting to play anyway.
Because he's a dumb one.
You still get beat, mate. Is it high banter or low banter you're in?
Oh, High banter, mate.
That's good, mate. Well done. You still get beat. Doesn't matter what banter you're in.
Right, thank you, Tam.
Off you go.
01419511025.
Off you go, Tam.
Did that joke sound better in your head?
That wasn't a joke. Because I know Blanter.
That's what I mean. But what was it?
What was the point there at the end?
I want to know where it was. High Blanter, low Blanter.
Wasn't your best put down?
No.
Nah.
I didn't play Tam, so wasn't I'm not really great. Interested in Tam, to be honest with you.
Seems like him and Tam have got more beef than me and Tam here.
I think he's angry tonight.
What's he angry?
I don't know. He's in one of these moods. You noticed that? Actually, because the question there that reminded me of it, which Scottish top flight club has got a mascot called Steelman? It was only, was it this time last week or was it Thursday? We were trying to get him a gig.
Yeah,
as a Wellington man,
as a mascot in Glasgow. Yeah, Glasgow Wellington.
Yep.
Got in touch an amateur team, and they said that you could be the Duke of Wellington statue. They would put the cone in your nose rather than your head, and you were going to be the mascot. And we had a bit of fun with it. Well, tonight the representatives from Glasgow Wellington rocked up at the studio. They gave us the shirts to try on and keep. They gave us memorabilia and looking the part. Until you refused to put the horse costume on.
I couldn't have put that on.
You were giving it big licks last week on here, on air. I'll play it back. You were saying, I know how to gallop, I can do it properly. The guy, poor guy, brings the horse costume in and you wouldn't put it on.
Did you see it? It would have taken me half an hour to put that on. Did you see it? And I'll tell you another thing. There's no horse in the world that colour, right? That was a horrendous colour. But I am officially now.
You did, to be fair. You put the traffic cone on your head. We all posed for the picture with the strips on, and you can see it over there
now
on Twitter. Glasgow Wellington. Is that you in?
I'm Wellington's mascot.
Because they gave you a free Gilly body warmer.
That's quite nice, right? Yeah. Keep them coming.
The fact you're still wearing it, it's a bit weird. It's about
40
I'll
be wearing that tomorrow at the golf.
Loves free stuff, didn't he? Loves it. He was well happy. He was rifling through that bag.
Speaking of which,
what else is there?
Something else has arrived for you as well.
What?
Genuinely.
What?
Has he got another freebie?
Producer Callum, I forgot about this. There is a box.
By the way, you
I know, he's a joke.
Somehow live your life by getting freebies.
There is a
everywhere.
Cardboard box, small, either on my desk. This is live radio, producer Callum. Either on my desk or the desk next.
Like Chris, put the lights out. I'll turn my back.
Alison, we'll get back to that. We'll do it later on. Let's bring in Derek, who's a Rangers fan from Govan. How's it going, Derek? You all right?
Not bad. How are you guys?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. How do we look back on the weekend then, if that's what you're on for?
3 points in the bag, that's what matters.
Yeah, is it as simple as that for you, Derek? Because we've had a bit of both tonight. The first caller said similar, and then a couple of others are saying, right, that's fine, but the performances aren't there and we're worried and recruitment, blah, blah, blah. Is it none of that stuff doing it for you?
You take another 30, 2-1 wins and you won the title, won't you?
Yeah, do you think that's sustainable? I think that's probably where they come from. If Rangers play like that every week, will they win the title?
Possibly. Who knows? I think once the squad settled and a couple of guys back from injury, I think the football will get better.
That's the thing, Mark. You can offer a statement that's entirely correct. Derek says if you scrape a 2-1 win every game, you'll win the league, and they will.
Yeah,
like I said, some fans just maybe feel that you are unlikely to do that.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're more unlikely to do it. You know, if you're Celtic, on the other hand, that you're playing sparkling football, and then you have a blip like Sunday. I think the fans are more inclined to think you'll get back on the horse, pardon the pun, with Daz left of me, much quicker. Rangers, sticky patch. It was important that they won, but I thought it was important as well that they had the performance just to settle the Rangers fans' minds after a sticky period, and I don't think they quite did that. Like, Derek's right, you go through the season, you win the league, but you always leave yourself open to that sucker punch at the end. If games are so tight and you're playing football that's edgy, I thought at the end, what should have been a routine win on Saturday was edgy at the end for Rangers in the closing minutes.
It's the kind of thing you hear, Gordon, that good teams get wins when they're not at their best, and champions scrape points when they're not performing well, and you know that's how you win titles. I get the mood we got from the Rangers fans on Saturday was, yeah, but we've not put any top drawer performances in yet. So that stuff's fine. If you put in a lot of good performances and then sometimes you're off it, they felt that it was happening too often, whereas Derek's a bit more positive about the full thing.
I can understand where Derek's come from, right? And he's right, if you keep winning then fine. But if you play the way Rangers are about their business just now, you ain't going to win 2-1 every single game. That ain't going to happen. I think that Rangers fans recognise the importance of the 3 points. Of course they are, because they say first and foremost get 3 points. But when you're playing the bottom of the league at home, you're looking for a big performance. You get that early goal. Everything was going well for Rangers. And then at 5 o'clock, there's phone in on Saturday night. It was criticism after criticism. It's not us. It's the Rangers supporters who's turning up at the games that are not happy. They were leaving in their droves in 75 minutes. So that tells you that the Rangers supporters ain't happy. And you can go back to, well, we won at 3 points. A guy scored 2 goals, and I'm thinking, well, he's done his job. He's one that can, you know, hold his head up high. He's a centre forward, he's there to score goals. Come in for unbelievable criticism. You will not continue in that vein week in, week out if you're not performing at a decent level. You look at Celtic on Sunday, they've been flying. They go, they're well below par. St Mirren were bang on it. St Mirren punished them. That will not happen to Rangers throughout the season, just getting over the line 2-1, 2-1 or 1-0 scraping. They'll have to step up. I think if you'll speak to most of the Rangers fans, they're concerned about their performances. They're concerned about the time game, the new signings. They're concerned about players off form. You look at guys like, for instance, Ryan Kent, who everybody knows, terrific talent, hardly kicked a ball this season. Kamara has been on the bench. I think he's one of the best players in Scotland. Hardly performed at all. You know, even you look at Tavernier, for instance, who's been absolutely brilliant. He's coming in for a little bit of criticism. They've changed their goalkeeper. I think they've made the right decision there. I know it was forced because of the injury, but McGregor, to me, is the number one keeper. But I think some of the new signings need to start stepping up. They need a freshness, Rangers. They need a sharpness. They need to go a bit more for me. Now, this break might just be the thing for Van Bronckhorst to, obviously, there's a lot of them away, international squad, I take that on board. But just to get everything away from Rangers, bring it back, freshness, start again, because they've got a difficult game at Tynecastle, but they need to up their performances.
Is there anything that does worry you a bit at the moment, Derek, or are you just full of positivity?
You want to be full of positivity too? Many people's eyebrows are full of negativity, that's the problem. We just came back to that a game against Napoli with 10 men, Champions League, I think they forgot we were playing Wednesday, a lot of the guys, you know what I mean?
I mean, listen, I've never burst anyone's bubble. If they want to be positive, so be it. It needs to. I think the guys who are disagreeing with Derek are just kind of basing it on what they're seeing, rather than that. As a fan, you can do the blind positivity thing. We've all been there.
I was going to say that the fans who
as far as I'm concerned, Motherwell won 4-3 on Sunday because exactly, they dominated they the game against Hearts.
The fans that are complaining are being realistic. Now, Derek's obviously been optimistic. He's a big Rangers fan and he's given his undying support. Of course, you need fans like that as well. But I think you need fans that call it when it's not right on the pitch. I think that's the one thing that drives a team to get better. If players and managers are hearing fans say, no, everything's great and we're scraping by 1-0 or 2-1 against Dundee United, believe me, the standards start creeping in that's acceptable. The Rangers players are well aware that they've not been playing well recently. They got a result on Saturday, but like Daz says, they need to play a lot better against Hearts, against Liverpool.
They just come off of 3 games. They lost, 11 goals, scored none. Performances, Ajax, Celtic, shocking, right? They come in for so much criticism. Napoli, people say, well, the sending off changes it, but okay, you can argue that point. I still think Napoli, top quality side. But they lose another 3. They play the bottom of the league at Ibrox. They're looking for a big performance. Let's not be kidding here. Of course they were looking for a big performance. Yes, 3 points, important. But the criticism that came from the Rangers supporters on this programme to most of the players tells me that Rangers fans are demanding a big performance.
Not them all. Derek's happy. Thank you, Derek. That was Derek in Govan, 01419511025. We'll get you a full time teaser up and running. Their producer Callum brought your latest freebie through to the studio as well. I'll get you to open that. And Scotland fans, how are you feeling about tomorrow? What should Stevie Clark do with that team? Pick up the phone and let us know.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, he's here, Gordon DL still here, and you can join them 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you're going to Instagram message me, please don't talk about cryptocurrency. Yeah, I don't know.
How much crypto can you get me for 100 quid?
I don't even know what that
means. What crypto are you recommending? Which Bitcoin?
Which coin?
Which coin are you across it these days?
Various.
The confusion has.
I know.
Please.
You know how you love a freebie?
Yeah.
I did say you've already got your Glasgow Wellington cone.
Yeah.
What was the theme of last week? How did he disgrace himself on the show last week?
Yeah, it was got to be the cup that he brought for the golf course.
Oh,
was it?
When he asked for a free cup. Disposable cup and kept washing it out and kept refilling
it. I've not got a free membership, have I?
No.
Listen, you've got to aim your sights a bit lower than that.
Okay.
But the good people from said golf course in Ayrshire.
My favourite one that I'm waiting for an invite back.
Your favourite
I'll
one?
I'll play either course.
With the big lighthouse.
Yeah.
They've been in touch. They've hand delivered.
And you've now got exciting.
You've got an actual mug for use that you can keep in the cupboard here.
I see that.
At Clyde One HQ. You can wash it out, you can reuse it.
That's a belter.
To your heart's content.
Oh, that's beautiful.
There we go.
For anybody that's listening down there, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
But you know what? We're going to need to stop this.
There are a few quid.
We're going to need to stop this because it is getting out of hand. This show does not exist for you to get freebies, right?
Yeah.
That's not what we're for. It's not what we're all about.
Gas and electricity.
Because you know what? It's atrocious because, and like,
look at that is fantastic.
I see that.
Beautiful.
But it shows you how the little conversations, the throwaway remarks clearly land, because Malcolm McDonald also got in touch and he said he's sending you a coffee cup as well.
Is
you're going to have one for each hand.
Do you see the price of that?
The price is on the bottom.
Deliberately put on it. Have they actually? Let me see.
Unbelievable.
I didn't check.
That's
you're worth that.
That is incredible.
That's very generous.
Yeah. Yeah, Blair, it's Blair into. Thank you very much.
I don't know who delivered them. I wasn't here.
Well, Blair, I think that obviously because we played with Blair that day, and I'm looking forward to come down seeing you very soon.
Disgrace.
I'll bring my cup.
He's looking for another freebie.
And Malcolm sending you one that you can take out and about with you. That's a permanent one.
Is that a carry one?
I think so. I think Malcolm's sending.
I'm looking for that.
Hold on a minute. Why is he getting all the free stuff, Malcolm?
I'm going to move on. Right. Let's get Malcolm
will send me sausages. They make them as well.
Let's get a full time teaser on the go. You two are going to struggle with this. Really struggle. You've just not got the minerals for this one. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's the truth. It is the crazy pony who sent it in. Can you name, and I'm going to have to make this even easier for you because you would never be able to do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 players who've played in Scotland at some point in their career and have scored more than 3 goals in a single Champions League season. Okay. 5 players played in Scotland at some point in their career and have more than 3 goals in a single Champions League season. It's good going.
More than three goals in a team.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's important. That one for any team, right.
Is it?
Oh.
How's that important?
How is that important?
Because I would have thought Celtic or Rangers, Champions League.
Well, think what you like, but I'm just saying.
But for any team, so, right, okay.
Is Larson one?
No.
Am I down the right track there?
Well, no, because it's wrong.
In what respect?
Because I thought it was quite a good answer, if I'm quite honest with you.
What track do you think you're on? In the 98-99 season, he got 3.
Yeah. Juventus.
More than three.
Right, but I'm along the right line there.
Yeah.
You're not.
You're closer.
Oh, well, I thought I was all right there.
So we're looking for 5 players with... have played in Scotland at some point in their career and they've got more than 3 goals in a single Champions League season.
Freddie Lundberg.
No.
What? He's got to have.
Go for it. Right, okay.
Oh, do you know what? Sorry, there's a wee disclaimer. My bad. It's the first decade of the Champions League. That's quite important, isn't it? But still, you were there with the Roy Keane, so it's up to the turn of the, it's up to the 2001-2 season. My apologies.
Oh, right. There, that's
the first decade
different.
Of the Champions League.
Better score.
I didn't spot that wee disclaimer.
De Boer.
Nope.
What?
Gattuso.
Nope.
Gattuso.
Gattuso.
These are, you're right. We were going to struggle. The white feather, same hair as you, Ravanelli.
Yes, he got 5 goals.
Ravanelli, yeah.
Sorry, in the 95-96 season in the Champions League. So there
that's
we go.
Right,
now that you've got one, you see how it works.
Yeah, Caniggia wasn't the one. We're not.
Ooh, Caniggia got 3 in the 94-95 season. No. Okay, see how that works.
Yeah.
Let's bring in David, who's a Rangers fan. Talk to us, David. How are you feeling after the weekend?
Glad we got the result. The guy earlier was talking about negativity. I think it probably comes from the performances that we've been seeing recently. We're only 2 points behind Celtic. The Old Firm game was a disaster. But I think, with regards to the frustrations for the Rangers fans, I think it's the we mentioned before in your show quite a bit, but the new guys that have came in. To your point, Lawrence is probably the only one that would get in the team. Tillman started really well, but he faded out a wee bit. He was wanting at the Celtic game. It was basically Gerrard's team that played the last game there because they know what to do. They know about the jersey. Arfield, Jack, Davis, they deliver it. They know what they're doing. And I just think where we're at, a year down the line, we expected to see a Champions League team performing in these games and not the Europa last year was brilliant. But we expected to see a better Rangers team on the field to play with the money that we generated from getting into the tournament, which is amazing, by the way. It was a great result against PSV. But I think we as supporters demanded a better team on the park there, and the guys that are there chomping at the bit to get into the team, they're clearly not good enough. I mean, they're not showing enough to get that starting jersey. Yes, Barisic has held on, but we needed somebody to come in and push him at the left, and you can see that the argument there that that's happened because his performances have improved. The balls that are coming in are really good, but he's still wanting defensively. He still stands off a defender, whereas this young guy might be able to get in. We don't know. We've never seen him. The boy Davis at the back. That just baffles me. And I know everyone keeps on talking about it, but he's at Liverpool and maybe a player for $4 million. Isn't he a massive player at Liverpool? Because of the quality of the squad they've got, and maybe he isn't as good as what the price tag gives us, because we haven't really seen him, but we need to see him. The Gordon mentioned there against Dundee United, surely that's a chance to get him on the park and see what he can do. It's just wee things like that. That's where the negativity comes from. I think we got a couple of good results there, a couple of good wins, and it's game on. You know what I mean? It really is. But that's where the negativity is, as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, because funny you mentioned about, you know, the team. David, I think you said something about it being Gerrard's team. Have you seen this? I don't know if social media is your thing. You know that tweet that's doing the rounds, that people keep displaying the similarities between the Rangers team that played Feyenoord a couple of seasons ago,
right,
and the one that played at the weekend. And yeah, it's pretty similar. I mean, I don't think there was hardly any difference. I think would that have been Steven Gerrard's first season?
But the heart was there. The heart was in that team.
I just meant in terms of, by the way, that doesn't have to be a bad thing, but I think the way people are using it on social media is to show a perceived, you know, lack of progress in personnel. Whether that's fair or not, is that something you would agree with?
Yeah, I do. I think like we've got Bassey was a major find and great that we sold him on and made money from him. There has been good progress there in the transfer market, but then you've got to look at some of the ones that have came in that aren't quite right. Who's making this? Is it Ross Wilson? You know what I mean? Is it Gio's input? Is he giving him a list of players, or are we getting told that's who's coming in the door? I don't know. Maybe the process is wrong, but you expect the guys that are coming in are meant to push. We got rid of Aribo and Bassey, which would have been fine if we made that money and we took the money in the coffers and we were still challenging Celtic and we were a better team, then that's fine. But if we're, as we were against Celtic at Parkhead, we were miles off the pace. We weren't a better team. So selling those two, it isn't good business. It's good business if we bring in better players, but we didn't.
Yeah, look, there's every chance I've made a mess of that comparison. It was something like that, Mark. I wish I could find it, right? But I think it was the Feyenoord game, which that one was 2019. It's something along those lines. You get where I'm going, and it was like, you know, 8, 9, 10 of the starting 11 was the same, because Giovanni van Bronckhorst has reverted to those guys now, you know. Yeah. Tillman's an interesting one because, brilliant, start of the season, everyone's loving him. Then, of course, look, like everyone, tough game against Celtic, tough game in Europe then against Ajax. But bread and butter at home against Dundee United, is, I thought maybe that would be the game that he then can come back in and thrive again, yeah. Or is he now having to recover from,
well, I think,
those tough games?
You know, maybe the manager's trying to protect him a wee bit. Maybe the manager has to take a wee bit of responsibility in that selection, particularly Celtic game where he plays him such a big game out in the wide areas where he's maybe not as effective as he should be. Like David makes a lot of good points in terms of what the Rangers fans expect to see after such a high last season, getting to the Europa League final, you know, taking some of the scalps that they did. Then it sets a standard that when Rangers fans go along this season and they negotiate their way through the Champions League qualifiers, they expect to see better, more competitive team in the Champions League, but better on the domestic front. And I don't think they're seeing it at the minute. I think he makes a good point about Yilmaz. I know Dad's saying Barisic is better than him, that's why he's playing. Well, the manager obviously thinks that, but how are you ever going to know? You know, Yilmaz has played against, was it Queen of South? Mm-hmm. He played at home. That's about it. Now, this boy can't be a bad player. It was a £5 million he was brought in. He's an internationalist, but he's not getting a sniff. I think Barisic does a good job going forward. I'm with David. I think defensively, there is still huge question marks. And you only have to go back last month to the game at Celtic Park and even the game against Ajax that you can see defensively when he's up against better opposition, he struggles. I don't know if Yilmaz, look, I don't know if Yilmaz will be any better, but how's anybody ever going to find that out unless he plays? So David's right in some respect that the fans expect to see better at this stage of the season.
There you are. There's Robert Bamford straight on, and it's on Instagram, by the way. Mm. You sent it to the right account, not the hacked one. And he says, is this what you were looking for? And it was someone called Alex tweeted, 3 years and six transfer windows apart, basically the same team. So it was McGregor, McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hollander, Barisic, Davis, Jack, Kamara, Ojo, Arfield, Morelos. Now, you could easily have put Kent in that team then, which would have made it even more similar to the one that played at the weekend. So that doesn't have, if that team keeps being this winning, that in isolation isn't a bad thing, Gordon. But as David says, there was a hope in the summer that it was this start of it, maybe a new era, a Champions League team bringing in new players, fresh blood, constantly moving things forward. That comparison would fly in the face of that, even if it is a simplistic one.
Look, when it comes to the summer, when it comes to a transfer window, every team wants to see new players coming in, better quality, to add a bit of strength, make the team better. David talks about the players going out. Now, they get great money, Aribo, Bassi and Patterson. And yes, the money that come in for those three, you can't refuse that, and I totally understand that. And invested in bringing, I think it was seven players round about that in the summer. Out of those seven, now, none of them deserve the right to walk into the team. You've got to earn the right. Doesn't matter where you go. I just look at thinking, right, out of the seven, who would probably be the starting person in a big, big game? The biggest game, probably next weekend, for instance. I think Tom Lawrence would be in there. The rest of them are really struggling to find their way into the Rangers' career. And it baffles me when people say about Ben Davis, brought up, the amount of money that's been spent on him. He sat on the bench for a centre-half for three games and never get 1 minute of game time. I don't see the point in that.
Right, thank you, David. That was nice to speak to you. 01419511025. On tonight's teaser, you're looking for five players who have played in Scotland at some point in their career and have managed more than three goals in one Champions League season. That's tough. That's a big accolade. And we're only talking the first decade of the Champions League, so like 92 to 2002, basically. You've got one, which was
Ravanelli
anymore.
I'm going to go for Viduka.
Brilliant, well done. We'll try and get the rest of the answers, and we'll hear from Steve Clark next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL very much here and struggling, toiling badly at the full time teaser. That's why we do it. The Crazy Pony sent this one in, but tomorrow night's could be you. You know, you have a wee think, send a question in fulltime@clydeone.com. Doesn't need to be as complex as this, and try and catch the pundits out. Tonight's is five players who in a single Champions League season scored more than three times in the Champions League. So it's quite good going, and they must have played in Scotland at some point in their career. We're only including the first decade of the Champions League, so it's guys like Mark Viduka in 2000-2001 scored four, has played for Celtic. Fabrizio Ravanelli did it 95-96, scored five times, played for Dundee. See the way it's going?
Yeah, I think I've got one. Mark Hatley.
Mark Hatley,
come on,
got two in 93-94.
Good season they had. Right, you got
Arvaladze.
No.
Purcell.
No. Struggling here.
Aye.
Lampard. I'm just kidding you.
Lampard.
Who do you play for? Scotland.
Who did I say? Oh, Frank Lampard. No, Paul Lampard. Sorry.
All right.
Lampard.
Paul Lampard.
Sorry. I was a lean one there.
Lampard and Butler.
Frankie.
No.
No.
Okay.
Oh, I'm struggling.
Right, Bolly.
What you're looking for, there's Bolly. One there with
He scored one.
There's one there that you're looking for with a Celtic connection.
Uh huh.
Juninho.
One with a Rangers connection. And there's one who played for a Scottish team that is neither of them. It's one of our capital teams.
Sozy.
Yes.
Sozy scored more than three.
He got six in the 92-93 Champions League, apparently, yeah.
For Marseille.
According to the Crazy Pony.
I think you're the one.
Oh, there you go. Frank Sozzi.
Right, okay.
Mark Viduka and Fabrizio Ravanelli. Two more. Okay.
Yeah. Celtic and Rangers.
Trevor Francis.
No, no, no. Don't undo your hard work. Let's hear from
Trevor Stephen.
Let's hear from Stevie Clark. He says it's vital Scotland gain some momentum after stalling in the summer. He's expecting a better performance against Ukraine tomorrow than the one they got when the sides met in June.
Well, obviously, I don't think it'll have the same edge. That game in June was pretty unique. The circumstances leading into it and whatever, so maybe slightly different. But still a big game for two teams that want to top the section. I think the Scottish public, the Scottish fans now will know that Ukraine are a very good team. I'm sure they'll play to the same level, but what I'm looking for from our team is that we get back to the level that we can be, and then we'll see what the result is. We just try to keep doing what we're doing and keep trying to improve on the system. Like I said, I just felt in the summer we stalled a little bit, and we want to start that forward momentum again, and hopefully that starts on Wednesday.
This is sort of crept up on us, it feels like. I know everyone's very much into the domestic season, and sometimes this one comes along and it feels like an inconvenience to some. But I mean, Mark, this Nations League is the avenue by which we got to our first major tournament since 1998. I mean, that's the importance of it. The summer was disappointing because Republic of Ireland hammered us, and it was, you know, it was really grim, and that came on the back of getting knocked out of the World Cup playoffs by Ukraine. But actually, that Nations League table, as it stands, Ukraine top on 7 points, Scotland next on six points. Yep. Republic of Ireland have played a game more and have only got 4 points.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Armenia at the bottom. So actually, starting tomorrow night at home to Ukraine, Saturday night at home, Republic of Ireland, then away to Ukraine next Wednesday, there is a chance to make some headway here.
Of course there is. It isn't looking as bad as we perhaps thought. You're right, Gordon. With that summer, we were all together watching the Republic of Ireland game, and we couldn't believe what we saw.
And Ukraine. I'm starting to think that us getting together for the big games is
Yeah, we'll stay apart this weekend, but there's still an opportunity there. Now, I think the home games speak for itself. Two must wins. If you've got any realistic chance of topping this group, you have to beat Ukraine tomorrow night. And Steve Clark's right, it will be a different game, because you think of the weight on the players' shoulders and the expectation that game just looked too much for them at some stages. Ukraine's a good side, but I think Scotland can perform much better. If they start the way that they kind of finished that game, then they should be in a better place.
The worrying thing, if we're looking at comparisons from that night though, Gordon, Ukraine were really good. That's the one thing I remember. Ukraine were very good. We don't have Andy Robertson this time. However much that impacts it, we'll find out. But it's a good side that's going to come to hand.
Yeah, I thought they were comfortable, Gordon. You look at our two fixtures coming up. I agree with Mark. Home is so important. But it's two teams that, you know, you look at Republic of Ireland, we were poor there and they battered us. Not going to be easy. But tomorrow night's got to be difficult because they've got quality players that play top level football, know how to handle the ball. They're a good footballing side. They're well organised. We will have to be at the top of our game to get something.
And there is no Andy Robertson this time, which is obviously not ideal. Greg Taylor is enjoying arguably the form of his life, according to the Celtic fans that phone in. Does he go and take his place?
I think so. I think he'd be hard done by if he misses out. Now, there's an argument when he's playing domestic football, was that enough to elevate you into that kind of backup of Andy Robertson? The argument that, well, Hickey came in. I think now that he's playing at a level, Champions League, and he's acquitted himself well, particularly against Shakhtar, I think he's at the level that it's an easy enough decision for Steve Clarke to make.
Again, Gordon, then to throw a spanner in the works, it would be unlikely, but you know, Steve Clarke maybe would he change the shape? Is he going to try and stick with his three and his wing backs? There's a few other defensive issues in there. So what, does McTominay and Tierney play either side of Scott McKenna? Because Grant Hanley's dropped out the squad. Nathan Patterson must be nailed on at right back, given the way he's started at right wing back.
Yeah, I agree with Matt.
So
what, Taylor,
Greg
left
Taylor,
wing back. Yeah.
No Aaron Hickey then?
No, I would probably go right now with Taylor. I think Hickey's just at the beginning of his international career. I think Taylor's been in good form, playing with a lot of confidence. Patterson down the right hand side, I think he'll stick to his formation. I'd be very surprised if he didn't. It's who he plays through the middle for me. You know, is he going to go with the two and out strikers with the 3-5-2, or is he going to go with maybe someone more defensively midfield coming
John from, McGinn off Shea Adams, that
yeah,
sort of thing.
Something like that, and put an extra midfield player in there. Will Gilmore get in the middle of the pack?
That's an interesting one, because over the years we've seen examples like Alan Hutton was playing like no club football whatsoever and would rock up for Scotland and put in good performances. To a lesser extent, James McFadden at times would have been in and out of his club team, but then would come and just be the main man for Scotland, and it felt like he belonged there, and that brought out the best in him. So can that be the case for Billy Gilmore? Does Steve Clarke put his arm round him and say, You're still one of my main men, and go in there and play? Or does the lack of football and the disrupted summer hold him back?
I hold him in that high regard. I think he can go in and play. I think the relationship that he formed with Callum McGregor was really positive. I think
struggled against Ukraine though, and now you've got Scott McTominay, who still plays every week in midfield.
We chatted about this with Ukraine. I think he struggled because Scotland bypassed him. It just went from back to front, and that's because Steve Clarke went with the two up front. Now Scotland played differently in the second half. They played with one up and two off, and we were much better. I think he'll go that way. I think he'll play with probably Adams up there with McGinn and another off him. Now I don't know who that other could be. Christie, will it be Fraser coming in, someone like that? I thought we'd get a grip of the game better, and I think Gilmore and McGregor will form that too in the middle of the park behind them.
I wouldn't be surprised if he put McTominay back in the middle of the park. I wouldn't be surprised with that at all.
So what, Jack Henry,
for instance, McKenna
look,
he's got options there. It'll be interesting to see how he goes about it. But as I said earlier, Gordon, it doesn't matter a team, doesn't matter a formation. They'll have to be at their best, because it's a quality side they're playing. They've got to be at their best tomorrow night. There's no doubt. If they're below par, they'll get punished. But it's at home. Two important games coming up. Tartan Army behind them. Hopefully he can get a result.
He has been maligned in the past, and I don't think he had a brilliant night against Ukraine, Mark, or Republic of Ireland. But I mean, Grant Hanley is the number one centre half, you know, like it or not. So he's dropped out of the team at a time when Andy Robertson's not there either.
He's going to be a huge loss. He is, and I don't get when people often come on and have a go at him. He's not the most easy on the eye, Grant Hanley, but he's aggressive. He's quick. He dictates where your back three start, and I think that's been one of your positives, that we can start higher up the pitch. So you take him at the team, he's obviously going to leave a hole. He's aggressive in both boxes. So it's a big call who Steve Clarke puts in there. He's got a few to pick from, but it'll be interesting.
Right, you've got two more players who got more than three Champions League goals in a single season and have played in Scotland at some point in their career. We're talking the first decade of the Champions League here. So you were doing okay. You got Ravanelli, you got Mark Viduka, you got Frank Sozzi, the other two.
Ian Wright?
No, a former Rangers striker with a big price tag.
I've got it. He played against me.
Oh, Flo.
Torre Andre Flo got 8 in one season. And a former Celtic striker.
Sutton?
Nope. He is
Arson.
Norwegian.
Back the
Brabak. Harald Brabak, yeah.
Did he score four for
Rosenborg probably?
Ah, mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. They won it every year, didn't they?
Here we go. Thank you, Mark Wilson. Thank you, Gordon DL. Thanks to you. Much more important than these two. All your calls, your tweets, your company never gets taken for granted. And I look forward to doing it all tomorrow with Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly. It's a big night for Scotland, so make sure you join us at 6 o'clock. And Callum Gallagher is up next.